Most people have grown up hearing and many times believing in superstitions. Are there some superstitions that Christians actually believe, and does the Bible condone that?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. We've got one that's so relevant to where people live, and I think it's something that kind of goes under the radar with this topic here. So if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to go ahead and ask the thing we ask every time. If you would like the video, and then if you'd subscribe to our channel, that would help us out. And then it puts our videos in your feed every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock whenever our videos come out. So we're in for a good one today.
Yeah, I think so. So there are a lot of superstitions that people here in the South all believe in. And where we're headed today, ultimately, so stick with us all the way to the end, is that there are some things that Christians believe and do, maybe even unknowingly, that where they have intermingled superstition with faith in Christ. Yeah. So we'll get there. But, you know, there are superstitions that are very prevalent. And I was looking through a list recently online of these, and I was shocked at how many I knew, at one time believed and did or saw just all around me in family and friends. So I thought we'd start with a list of some of those, and you can decide if these are some of those that were true for you.
Yeah.
So the first is, I remember walking to school, elementary school, and I'm going down the sidewalk, and I've got to be so careful because if you step on a crack, you break your mother's back. So
classic. So, same thing in elementary school.
I was terrified that I was going to get a call from my mom, you know. She broke her back, you know, at work, and it's my fault. So it's a superstition. And, you know, if any of these that we're going to list today, you could go find out where they come from, the origin. We're not going to do that today. That one is just weird by itself. It's belief that there's this underworld and that the cracks are where they, you know, make their, it's a portal in a sense up into our world. So if you step on their crack, you know, that you're going to cause trouble because they'll get mad at you. So
before people understood what rain did to the ground and shifting and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Of course, you know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of these, like a lot of people go, oh, it's just fun and all that kind of stuff, which like, sure. Yeah. Maybe, but, but some of these cross from the line of fun into like, oh no, but I actually mean this. Yeah. Like I actually stand by this stuff.
Yeah, so
this
exactly.
These are like some of the fun ones, but we'll get more into it.
Yeah, we'll get there. So yeah, when I was growing up, it was very common to see people also carrying a rabbit's foot. Now today, that's creepy. That's really like, weird
what are you
creepy.
Doing?
But it was very common growing up to see people walking around and they've got a rabbit's foot hanging off their belt. You know, they got it in their pocket. I remember, you know, holding some that people had. I didn't ever have one, but
good luck.
I know. Yes. That's the reason. it's just weird. You're carrying around a foot of an animal, you know, it's furry
for,
and it's all the nails. Yeah, there's good luck associated with this. Good things will happen to me.
Yeah.
Having because a I'll dead rabbit's this. Foot in my pocket.
Naturally.
Yeah. Opening an umbrella inside the house. That was a big deal. You know, I remember people just being terrified, like, don't do that, don't do that. That some for some reason, I'm sure there's again some etymology to that whole idea that tells you why, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it changes God's mind about the things He wants to happen in your life because you open umbrellas.
You
in
messed
your house.
It up.
You forgot to read that in the Bible.
Man, yeah,
yeah, love it.
Yeah, or if a black cat crossed your path, if you're walking, you're going on a walk on the sidewalk, black cat, you better go across the road.
Yeah.
You better, and then hope he didn't cross that sidewalk too.
Yeah. I remember whenever I basically had first started driving, I was driving down the road right outside of our house and a black cat just goes, pshoo, and I was like, oh, and I'm like, again, I know that's not real, but is it? But what about?
That's ridiculous. You know,
and then you're like, oh, I'm waiting for something bad to happen now. And then it's like, in a sense, the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly. Because like, something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen that you don't find favorable.
And
you're
going to
go, I know exactly
it's because
why.
Of that cat.
That cat that crossed the front after I started driving. You
know? Yeah, as the Disney movie, That Darn Cat.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
so, walking under a ladder. I mean,
ridiculous.
I get it. If there's a bucket of paint on top and you hit it and it's going to spill on your head, but why does walking under a ladder just by itself bring bad luck? Mm-hmm. If you break a mirror, 7 years bad luck.
Love it. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's so expensive it's going to take you that long to save up and buy another one.
And again, something we're not even addressing in all of this stuff right now is the idea of luck. Is there luck? Is there not luck? What is all that? That's something.
That's
like
a whole nother.
We could deal with that entirely different. Right. These are just some of the superstitions
associated with that. Because if finding a four leaf clover,
good luck.
It's supposed to be good luck.
It's great.
I remember in my neighbor's yard when I was elementary, junior high, is spending half a day out there looking through clover patches for the four leaf clover.
Never found one.
I thought I found one.
Oh, there you go.
It was really It was really just something was wrong with the three leaf. It just looked like a fourth, but it wasn't. So.
Was it poison ivy or anything?
Exactly. Tossing spilt salt over your shoulder.
Ridiculous. Yes,
that's just something. Knock on wood. That's very
classic.
Prevalent belief
still do
even
that.
Today.
All sports, anything.
Knock
on wood.
But somehow
that'll
you
negate it.
Wrapping on a piece of wood, a table or something. Of course, the comedy back in the day was, knock on wood. Knock
classic,
on your own.
Ridiculous. Yeah. And it's the best because you like teach kids all the time. You can't take back anything you say. But if you knock on wood, you essentially do. So it's like, okay.
Wow.
That makes sense. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
You got to love it.
The whole idea that on Friday the 13th is, bad things happen on that day. Mm-hmm. Or again, saying good luck to someone is what brings them good luck. If I just say those two words, that somehow that brings about a favorable day.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Hanging a horseshoe above your door, I guess in the right way. I don't even know if it's supposed to be up or down. I think it's supposed to be up because if you hang it upside down, all the luck runs out.
There you go. Makes sense to me, I guess. So. Ridiculous.
Then the whole idea of karma, I know that's not necessarily as luck thing, but it is kind of a superstitious thing that there are powers out there that that karma will take care of you. You know, if you do good will come to you. If you do bad will come to you and to others as well.
Yeah. And you just got to love Christians who are start saying something, hey, karma. And it's like, hold on. I thought we believe in exclusive Jesus is the only way, truth,
and life. I know. I'd be like saying, hey, Buddha.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's borrow from some other religions on what they believe. And let's start imposing it on others.
Atheism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
It is.
So,
and some others I saw, I don't know that I did these, holding your breath when you pass by a cemetery.
Classic. I remember Taylor used to do that growing up.
I remember y'all doing that.
Yeah.
There you go. The idea that bad things happen in threes, I've heard that quite a bit.
Peter denied Jesus three times.
See,
that's where it comes
turned
from.
Turned out bad for him.
There you go. But then he was
restored. But the idea that if someone is sick, goes to the hospital, has a wreck, dies, then there's going to be two more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just terrible. It's a terrible way to project an ominous tone onto your life because of an event. A statement that someone made. Lifting your feet when you cross over railroad tracks.
That I have never done.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that one.
I remember when I was young, we rode in a bus, and every time we crossed railroad tracks, we would start bouncing in the back seat long before then. So whenever you crossed it, you got some extra bounce to it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
This next one is going to be, this one that a lot of people do, and I do it. We do it in our family, is when someone sneezes saying, bless you. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, I'll take a blessing from anybody, but I think some of that has some superstitious origins. Uh-huh. Not that you are evil if you say bless you.
Exactly.
My dad was real big on a couple of these here that if the sun shines when it's raining, then it will rain again tomorrow at the exact same time.
There you go.
Yeah. Forecasters just didn't know what they were doing.
That was Farmer's Almanac back
It's true. It's true. My dad also believed this, and I saw him do this when I was, after I was married with kids over the house.
So good.
If you have a dead snake, you hang it over the fence, it'll rain again tomorrow, or it will rain tomorrow.
There you go.
So he did it.
Look for some snakes.
Didn't rain.
Oh.
Yeah.
He said it wasn't a real snake. It wasn't actually.
Wasn't long enough or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Go, yeah.
If your ears are itching, it means someone's talking about you.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's weird.
Not truth.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and
say it. If if you're wearing a necklace and the pendant gets turned around backwards, it means someone's thinking about you.
Not that you've been active or moving or walking or anything or moving your neck. Someone's thinking about you.
Like, how does their power?
Yep.
Two states away or wherever they are have the power to turn a necklace on my neck.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
It's
but those are things that people believe.
Yeah.
I mean, They probably would, if you ask them what they really believe, they'd say, oh, no.
Oh, it's just fun.
I just say that. Well, then why do you keep saying it?
Say it like it's the truth and you live by it.
Yeah. Why did you tell me when I was a child, impressionable, and I believed all these things?
Yeah.
Like, so, induced fear into my life.
Exactly. Because that's, I was going to say, that's the thing about these is that all of them have a sense of like, uh-oh, or you better do this so that good things will happen to you, you know? And so it's very, very common in baseball to have all sorts of ridiculous superstitions there. Like every player has their own superstitions and all that stuff. But some like well-knowns across the whole game is that you don't step on the foul line before, during, or after the game.
Really?
You know, unless it like you're sliding and you catch a ball on the foul line. But like especially before the game, you don't step on the infield dirt and you don't touch the foul line. If you do, bad luck. You're going to have a terrible game.
Probably so if you run into first, you got to be careful to not.
Well, in that, it's a little different. Like, you know.
So the exclusions
course,
to the rule.
There's exclusions for all this stuff.
Yeah.
But especially before the
pre-game.
Game. Pre-game.
Gotcha.
Specifically.
Okay.
And then after the game as well, it's like, you better not touch. I mean, I did that all throughout high school. Ridiculous. You know, I don't know why. Again, it's good because it's like, they've been doing this since the 1800s, basically. So you might as well keep it going, you know. So don't step on the line.
Right.
Another one. Don't talk about how good the pitcher's pitching, especially if there's a no-hitter even through 3, 4, 5 innings, you know, and further on.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then they're surely going to give up a hit, you know. And so you know how it goes.
Yeah,
the
sure.
Words.
Yeah, words have power.
Ridiculous. So don't talk about how good the pitcher's pitching. Again, knock on wood definitely comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal, you know. If you say something good might happen, knock on wood. Say something bad might happen, knock on wood. All ridiculous. Try to cancel out whatever you said. And then what you are wearing. That's another classic. Baseball players, very superstitious. Some people are like, I wear the same underwear every single game that I play. If I got a hit, I'm not changing the sleeve I wear, the gloves I wear. Or if I don't have a hit, I'm changing the gloves I wear. I'm changing the sleeves I wear. I'm changing the undershirt I have. Just ridiculous stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then another one, like very ritualistic eating, you know, pre-game. Right before the game, during the game, you know, I got to eat this many, that's all that kind of
sunflower seed, gum, all that
stuff, you know, because when I do this, good things happen. So I got to keep up the good vibes, the good energy, and all this kind of stuff. And this is like, again, just seen in the baseball culture as a whole, you know, and it's crazy that people give a lot of weight to these things.
It's true. Know? It's true that I have the ability to control the outcome of much larger events and scenarios bigger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. In other people's lives, even just by the things I say or do. Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, growing up, I lived in Oak Cliff, moving to Ovilla. I've known, had lots of friends who are part of the Hispanic culture and they have their own set of, things that are superstitious and just some of the ones that are inside that culture. I'm sure there's many more. Is the idea that at the beginning of a new year, you're supposed to eat 12 grapes. That gives you good luck for each month.
For each month. Love it.
If a rooster crows at night, that death is near.
There you go.
You better watch out. Don't ever put your purse on the floor or your money will leave. I guess you better be careful who's in the room when you put that on the floor. That when you're passing the salt shaker to someone at a restaurant or at your house, that you should never put it in their hand. You should pass it and set it on the table. It's bad luck to put it in their hand. That if you're sweeping the floor and you sweep across a woman's foot, that it's going to be bad luck for her.
There you go.
Yeah. If your right hand itches, that means money is coming. If your left hand itches, that means money is leaving. If you run around the block with a suitcase on New Year's Eve, that means during that year you're going to travel. And then here's another one that I've heard that's very common and believed very seriously was that someone can give you the evil eye, that someone can look at you in a cross way, and it will cause evil to come to you. This is especially true for children or babies. If someone looks at a child with a cross way, evil, hard, you know, angry stare, it's giving them the evil eye, and bad things will happen to them. And then, so then, if you do, as I understand it, and I may have this totally messed up, that you're to go home, then there is a process. You're supposed to follow a procedure where you take a raw egg and you hold it over the person. You move it over them, the person who got the evil eye. And then you crack that egg, you put it in a jar, and you put it under the bed of the person. And the next day when you look, you will see the evil leaving and into that jar. And then you take it and you flush it down the commode. Brings good luck. Takes away the bad luck.
It's not the bacteria growing on the egg.
No, just the process of the egg in the water. But yeah and it's sad. You think about people who live with that kind of dependence or fear in certain circumstances happening. So if you believe these, then you have to be on guard all the time for them.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to make sure you're doing them or not doing them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that will determine the outcome of your life.
Yeah. And so, I was going to say, especially whenever you've grown up in that culture, then, and you know, just seeing that modeled and all that stuff, you just carry it on. Again, it's like the baseball
thing. That's true.
People have been doing this since like the late 1800s. So like, we're just going to keep on doing this because it's part of the fun. It's part of the game. But then it starts to affect how you actually live, and it starts to affect how you like actually view your actions and related to like outcomes and all that stuff. And then if you let it start to determine if you let that start to determine how you live in some ways, it's going to eventually creep into every way in which
that's true.
Live, you know? So the thing about each of those superstitions is, and again, many more that we didn't even mention, but they undermine your actual faith in God, in his sovereignty, in his hand, in his work, in his, you know, way in which he has created things. And you're going, it's all on me. It's up to me. I have the control, or someone else has the control and they're trying to do evil to me. So I need to do blah, 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 blah. There's no like, I have faith that God is protecting me. Yeah. I have faith that God, his favor is upon me. I have faith that God loves me.
And I'm blessed.
Yeah. There is. So
therefore I can rest. I can be at peace.
Exactly.
It's gone.
Like what happens through all of these is you just have a absurd amount of fear and dread about your life. You know, you just live stuck, paralyzed basically.
It's true.
What might happen, what did happen, what I, you know, did or didn't do. And then you're putting all your faith and your hope in literally your ability. And that's it.
That's true.
And so all that also will lead to idolization. You know, it will lead to making an idol of, you know, the way in which you live your life. You're going to have rituals that you have to abide by in order to have good things happen to you. So the bad things, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's just a toxic way of living.
It's true. I think, you know, as we move forward, it'd be important to define what we're talking about here. So let's define superstition as this. It's the belief that magic, luck, or events have ominous power over our life.
Yeah.
That there is this force that's not related to God, that there is, it can bring good, it can bring evil. So what is this to begin with?
Yeah.
And it is rooted in how I behave, the things I say and the things I do. So again, the reason that causes so much unrest is that it puts all the control on me. I have to make sure this comes to pass. And that's a weight too great to carry. That's why you find people who are deep into superstitions, they're usually pretty isolated. They can't go very far. They can't do very much. They are withdrawn, insecure, and uncertain and fearful. So the Bible speaks against this kind of belief of putting our faith and trust in superstitions, gods, idols, anything but God. So in Deuteronomy 18, God writes and tells his people, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer." So it fits in with some of that idea here that I need to have someone to interpret the events going on around me, and so I can know what actions to take. Verse 11 says, "Or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you today."
Yeah, I was going to say
a pretty strong warning from God.
And I think it's I mean, I'd say sad and wrong for a lot of the people who go, oh, that stuff is just not real. Like all the like palm readers and all that. That's just all fake and they're just messing around and they're just looking to scam you. It's like, this right here is kind of saying not that, you know, it's like, no, that is actually very real.
Yeah,
we actually need to be very like, very hard line. No boundaries. You know, we are not doing any of that. So we have hard wall boundaries to those things. So we are not going to be, around that.
Yeah.
Because that is evil. That's practicing evil.
Yeah.
You know,
you are opening yourself up to a realm that is not of God.
Yeah.
In the same way that we open our life to the things of God by saying, I trust you, Jesus, because of what you said in your word. If you believe in those kind of things, you are opening yourself up to a realm where you say, I trust in these. I trust in the Ouija board game. Yeah, you know, exactly. I trust in horoscope. I trust in knock on wood. I trust in, you know, not stepping on a crack to break my mom's back. Mm-hmm. All those things. It's a viable caution for us.
Because those things are an abomination, you know, and again, most of these, like, kind of, some of them are just silly, you know, most people would be like, well, I don't really believe that kind of stuff. And again, for the most part, people don't actually believe, oh, it's just kind of a fun game, culturally we do this stuff, but you can tell what someone actually believes by how they live.
That's true.
Like, what they are actually living by, that's what they believe, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like the introductory part to where we really want to get to.
Yeah.
Of this is really where Christian superstitions come in. So thanks for hanging through the fun part and all that stuff. But now we're going to get into the awkward, uncomfortable part of like, hey, I bet you might either believe some of these things or you know people who live by this stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Because there's a version of superstition out there that is actually a mingling of superstition with Christian faith.
Yeah.
And it's an odd mix. And you're going to recognize some of these, and I've done some of these, so I recognize them as real for myself. But when you stop and think about it, you realize, wait a minute, I'm trusting in what I'm doing instead of the one I put my faith in.
Yep.
So here's a few things that are actual Christian mingled with, or Christian faith mingled with superstition. The idea that I have to pray a certain way and with certain words or things will go badly for me. Mm-hmm. That is a mixture of Christian faith and superstition. So I've told this story before, but when I was in high school and I had to walk home, it was a long distance through a lot of neighborhoods. I was terrified because there was a lot of loose dogs along the way. And so I believed, although I had not come to Christ yet. I had some church involvement, but not much. I didn't know really much. So I believed that if all the way home, if I kept repeating, please, Lord, don't let a dog come out and get me, that was going to keep me safe. And so this is probably 2.5 miles walking. I'm 15, 14 and 15 at this time. I am nonstop saying that. And I would not let myself stop because I thought if I stopped, sure enough, that dog is coming and I am done.
Yeah.
So, it would transfer over to other things. You know, please, Lord, don't let anyone come out and get me. Or, you know, don't let a dog. It was this idea that if I kept saying it over and over and over and over, even though it was to God, if I kept saying it enough, then it would come true.
Yeah.
And often it did. There were not many dogs came and caught me. So.
Man, I'm so awesome. I'm glad I did all that.
I'm so glad I can stop saying that now.
Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. It was like, I'm glad that I protected myself with what I said. Essentially, is kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, my faith in that moment wasn't in the God I was praying to. My faith was in the me saying it enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think it can also be the idea of I have to pray in a certain way with certain words or God won't hear me even.
That's true.
If there's like, man, I have not heard or I have not seen God move. I must be praying in a wrong way or with the wrong words, or I need to say things differently so that God will hear me.
Yep.
There's so much more to God responding to your prayers than just like hearing what you think you need to hear in that time. You know?
Right.
So it's like It's not a matter of that, you know.
Yeah, I was part of a group for a while where they put out information on how to pray for protection for your family. And I can see it on the page. I can see the words. It was a very scripted prayer, and the emphasis was on that you had to make sure you said it the right way.
Wow.
Heavenly Father, I am asking you to place a hedge of protection in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus around my, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But if you didn't say it the right way, they taught that,
didn't
that
say God, blood of Jesus.
Yeah. If you said it in the wrong way, God was not going to hear it. It wasn't. Cool. If you didn't say it in the name of and through the blood, and if you didn't say in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. If you didn't say it the right way, God was not going to hear you or respond to you. And again, in that moment, what's happening is I'm trusting in my action and not in the one I'm praying to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it also is just making God go from like this big to like, he only hears if you do the right thing.
Yeah, he's pretty narrow. He's pretty tight. Yeah, and you better say it right or he's not going to hear you, not going to respond to you because, man, he is that persnickety.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can tell how much love and grace he has by that. It's awesome. It's great.
It's laughable now, but it was sad because I lived in that, and a lot of people did, and some do.
Yeah,
exactly. Or even the idea that I have to read my Bible at a certain time in a certain place for a certain length of time, or the rest of my day is going to go badly. I lived in that too. I remember getting up and reading my Bible when I didn't even know what I was reading, but man, at the end of I read it.
Yeah. Zephaniah and Zechariah. Oh. I'm sure.
I can't open my eyes. My mind's not even near working yet, but boy, I read my Bible. Again, what am I trusting in that moment? I'm not trusting in God. I'm trusting in my efforts to have accomplished a task. Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's the idea of like, I'm not going to have the right outcome if I don't do everything perfect, you know? And to the person who is OCD and perfection minded, it's like, that sounds freaking awesome.
Yeah, you know?
Like,
exactly.
This is genius.
Finally, what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. This is genius that I am doing the things.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're not actually, you know.
Yeah. Along with that, there are people who believe, well, I have to go to church or things will go badly for me. And I get it. We should have a desire to want to go to church, to be involved in church.
Desire.
Yeah, genuine desire.
That's not
but
desire.
But if you're going out of fear of what might happen to you and that somehow your attendance causes God to say, okay, well, you were going to have tragedy this week, but not now.
Hey,
you
good
went
job.
To church.
Yeah, exactly.
Staved
that
off.
Person's alive for another week. Right. You better go back next week. Subscription-based, you know, it's like, come on, that's so shallow again, you know?
You get that today with people who, you know, think when they're at church, there are certain things they should say or do, but as long as they're outside the church, they can say or do those things. That that really carries with it some kind of superstition, I think. Yeah. I recognize you want to honor the Lord's presence at the church. I get that, but
he lives in believers.
The house that he says he lives in is in us. So I think you find this also over in Catholic belief. Mm-hmm. There you find this even more, what sounds to me like just painful practice of you have to call out to the right saint and know the right prayer to pray. So, you know, you got to know them all. Mm-hmm. You got to know the prayers, the saints, and you got to know your situation. You got to say it in the right way, say it in the right thing. Again, the trust in that moment is not in the God that you're praying to. It's in the way that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. I think that comes down to more superstition now because you're trusting in your effort and you're believing in something ominous happening if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And there is value in knowing who the saints are. There is value in knowing history. There is value in having here's a prayer to pray in a time of need. Here's a prayer to pray and when this is what's desperate and all that stuff.
Yeah, but we're never instructed to pray to the saints.
Exactly. No, we're not. And it's not because of the thing, like the prayer in which you are reciting, but it's a matter of literally your heart.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of, where is your faith?
Yep.
You know, not in what you're doing, but what is your faith in at this point? Is it in, I'm doing such great things, that means such great things should come back to me. Or I believe that God is the God of great things and wonders, and I believe he can and will do something on, you know, for this.
Based on his promises and not on my efforts, not on my knocking on wood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Another one that happens and happened to me, I remember, is this really, I'd say now, is a superstitious idea that, oh my, things are going really well. I bet that means something bad is about to happen.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that, and guess what? Something bad happened.
Yeah.
Naturally. Validated, confirmed it for me. Yep. Bad stuff happens.
Exactly.
Every day something happens.
If you're looking for it, you're going to find it.
That's right. But to think, okay, God, he brings good things into my life, but man, it's only a setup. He's about to drop the hammer.
Yeah.
And if it's too good and you're too happy and you're too much
at
peace.
Your marriage is going too good. Watch out.
It's, you're done. Hell's coming.
Yeah.
You know, but sadly, there are Christians who believe that.
And teach that. And tell that proudly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another version of it that's similar. And I understand the thought behind this, but it can carry a similar weight. Well, if you're not in a storm right now, you're about to be, because you're either coming in to a storm, in a storm, or going out of a storm.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, but there's a feel that some of that that says, "Eh, it's coming. You better watch out."
Yeah.
Yep. Then another one that's very similar to that is, "Hey, don't ask God for patience, or He will bring some trouble into your life."
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, he's that held back by us that, I mean, he says, the scripture says, count it all joy to fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So that tells me he's the one doing it. He's already doing it, whether you ask him or not. The thing is, if you ask, you're asking for wisdom to help you through the process. It's going to come whether you ask or not.
Yeah, and the other best is, you don't even have to pray, God, would you give me patience? It's a fruit of the Spirit.
That's true.
That's literally a result of being saved.
It's true.
Is patience.
Yeah.
You know? Love, joy, peace, patience.
Yes.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that happens for Christians is in the visible things that they see. So like someone says, oh, I saw a cross in the sky today. I think God's trying to tell me, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Or I found this thing on the ground today. I think God's trying to tell me, you know, fill in the blank. I'm not saying God can't speak through situations like that, but
there is a more sure word.
I was going to say, please don't trust in those kind of circumstances for God to speak to you.
Yeah.
You know, you find this again over in Catholic belief that I saw the Virgin Mary in a piece of toast. You know, so this is God showing himself that he's present in my life. I don't need a piece of toast to tell me that.
Exactly.
It's already given to me in the scripture and spoken to me by the Spirit as well.
Yep.
So I don't need to find the Virgin Mary in a piece of toast, a piece of wood, or up in the sky on a wall in the carpet. Yeah. I don't need that.
Yep.
So another thing that's typical for Christians is, well, I opened my Bible to some random verse and I read it, and now something bad's going to happen to me, or something good's going to happen to me because of the verse I read.
It says Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Something terrible's about to happen.
Yeah. All right. I opened and I read the Bible and it said Judas hung himself. So what does that mean for my life today?
Yeah. It means stop reading your Bible like that. That's what it means.
Exactly.
It means read with wisdom and discernment and knowledge and read with intentionality.
Yes.
Not flippantly.
And not just randomly and believing in that kind of superstitious belief.
Exactly.
Another thing you'll hear today, and this happens more over in Assemblies Charismatic world, is, well, don't speak against a preacher or bad things will happen to you.
Sounds like a great podcast topic that we did.
That's right.
Shout out. You can go back to it.
Yeah, that somehow he is the anointed one, and if you speak against him, something tragic and terrible is going to happen to you. That's just...
You might even lose your salvation.
That's reinvented mysticism and superstition right there.
Mm-hmm.
Or another one that happens is, I saw something bad happen today, so it must mean that God's getting me ready for something bad to happen. You know, I saw someone have a wreck today. That must mean I'm going to have a wreck soon.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I saw these three symbols today, and that means this terrible thing is going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or three people said they had money stolen from them. So that means someone's going to steal money from me. And it's God's way of preparing me for that in advance. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that God
will work in this way.
Works in that way. That He sets you up, is going to prompt you ahead of time with three visual prompts to tell you that He's bringing bad into your life.
And He's going
to
fill you with fear so that you can get ready for it and then feel terrible whenever it happens. It's not the character of God.
No. All of these, again, is this idea that there are these ominous foretellers out there that are getting us ready for bad things.
Yep.
That's just kind of the overarching idea of superstition.
Yeah.
That the gods are in control and they're giving you these ominous foretellers and you can get in line with it or they're going to make bad happen to you.
Yep.
That is never in any way to be mixed with faith in Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
That's why that Deuteronomy passage says, don't bring all that stuff into the faith.
Yeah. That is an abomination.
Yeah, keep that outside. It will destroy your perspective of God and your faith in God.
That is the whole, all right, choose you this day whom you'll serve.
That's
true. Are you going to choose to serve superstitions or are you going to choose to serve God who actually speaks in clarity and then speaks with peace and speaks in confidence?
Yes.
Goodness.
And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we don't have uncertainty.
No.
So the Bible is clear about how He relates to us. And this is where our hope is. It's not in signs. It's not in the forecast. It's not in your zodiac. It's not in someone's weird word they came and even spoke to you. Our faith is in the one true God, and it's rooted in His word and His promises. It's not rooted in us making sure that we prayed a certain way. Yeah. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 6. Jesus told the disciples, He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, not destroy you, give you
reward you
terrible things.
The character of God.
And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Don't just keep saying, please don't let this dog come get me.
Yeah.
Don't just keep repeating it and trusting in your repetition. Because Jesus said, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Their trust is in their words. Their trust is in what I'm doing instead of the one who hears and loves them.
So good.
So our faith is not rooted in our ability, our word. Our faith is not rooted in me having to do certain things to protect me from evil.
Yeah.
He's already given me His promises.
Yeah.
He's promised that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Even though it might be formed, even though it might be used against me, it won't prosper. I stand in that promise.
Yep.
Ephesians tells us, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Mm-hmm. Your
security is not based in your behavior, your best behavior. You're not stepping on cracks.
Yeah.
You're making sure you don't cross the path of any black cat, any of those things. That's not where your security is. Your security is in Christ. If it was all in your ability to not step on a crack and not cross the black cat's path, at the end of the day, you'd say, hey, I did
I'm
good.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm great. I
got
this.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah. Our faith is rooted in the promises that God is good to us in Christ, and He will be good. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good, all things, whether they're the bad, the unusual, the circumstantial, the good, or the bad, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This is where we trust in Him. He doesn't send us ominous warnings of tragedy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If there's anything, He fills us with promises to prepare us, not to set us up, but to solidify, to strengthen us, never to create greater fear.
Yeah. I was listening to a thing on Jonah this morning, and it was saying how, you know, Jonah literally does like the opposite of everything God actually calls him to, but God still gets the task accomplished through Jonah that he wants, you know, and it's not like Jonah didn't do negative thing. So God's like, all right, here's curses on you and all this stuff. But he actually does the wrong thing and God still saves him, preserves him, delivers him, blesses him, even though he's doing the opposite thing, you know? True. And then like, it wasn't that Jonah, you know, like saw, I'm gonna be thrown into the ocean later today because all these people said.
Before all this, I was walking down the street. I kept seeing pictures of big whales.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, I bet I'm going to be in a whale later today. Something bad's going to happen.
Yep. No. I'm feeling kind of down in the mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Classic. But yeah, it's like God is not just strictly, you know, limited by how good you are.
Right. Exactly.
You know, or how bad you are even.
That's true.
You know? He is bigger than we individuals are.
That's true. And he doesn't tease us with ominous warnings, secret messages.
Yeah.
He's given his word. He's spoken plainly. He's given us his spirit that speaks within us. And
that
speaks
translates
peace.
The truth. It interprets the truth to us. And it recalls the truth of God to us.
Yep. Yep. So the other thing is, our faith that we have, it's not rooted in any kind of fear. We don't have to live in fear of what would come our way. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Yeah.
So that whole spirit of superstition is a spirit of fear.
Fear. That is literally what it is.
It keeps you off center. Mm-hmm. It keeps you uncertain. It keeps you in the what if horrible happens mindset.
Numb, basically. You're paralyzed, I should say. Stunned.
Yeah.
That's what it keeps you.
What you don't find in superstitious people is people who are consistently saying, man, good is going to happen today.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's not the general spirit.
A clover.
That's true. Okay. You have a whole ground patch full of them. No.
Yeah.
But really, the spirit of superstition is the spirit of fear.
Yes.
That I have to or else.
Yeah.
And in many cases, it's going to happen regardless.
Exactly.
And, you know, I was thinking that really was what the serpent was doing in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to dislodge confidence in Eve.
Exactly.
Just create a little bit of doubt. Just create a little bit of uncertainty that did God really say? Has God really said? And superstition comes to do that, to just a little bit of pry us away from fixed belief in truth and a promise that, well, you know, there might be something to that. I better make sure I do this so that doesn't happen. And it just introduces all kind of fear, and that's not a faith.
Yep.
Our faith is in the one true, unchanging, forever strong, faithful God.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not fickle. He is not up and down and in and out and secretive and sneaky with us. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? You can trust in promises. You don't have to trust in superstitions.
Yep.
So, you know, it might be worth if you've walked down some of this path, it's time to draw a hard line to say, all right,
no more.
I'm done with this.
Yep.
I am through with any kind of superstition, and I am through with mingling it with my faith.
Yeah.
I don't want that to be mixed in and putrefy the pure faith I have in God that's meant to give me peace.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wrap this up today by reading Psalm 91. Because it really gives us this fuller picture of where our hope and our trust is. It's not in our ability to keep the gods at peace, but it is in the one true God who loves us.
Yeah.
Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So that even when it is happening, we know, we trust in, he'll deliver me.
Mm-hmm.
He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. There's a lot of horrible mm-hmm. things happening right mm-hmm. there.
And it's like, don't fear it.
Yeah. Even though it is happening, mm-hmm. I don't fear. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. You talk about an ominous warning right there. Mm-hmm. 1,000 people die yep. at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eye shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So here is supernatural power coming from heaven when you choose mm-hmm. to abandon all trust in superstition and mm-hmm. give all trust to God. When you make him the shelter, he's the one you run to, he's the one you cry out to, he's the one you trust in. Oh, well, he's going to send angels your way to protect you. Even from when that you're about to kick that stone with your toe, he's going to protect you. He says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Those are promises from mm-hmm. God mm-hmm. that is available for yeah. us if we will trust, if we will dwell in that secret place of the Lord Most High and mm-hmm. abandon all other trust in anything. Yeah. I don't trust in my ability to say the right thing all the time, yeah. do the right thing, not step on a crack, not pass the path yeah. of a black cat. Yeah, I trust right. in the one true God.
Yeah. I think, again, the most like important part of this passage is in verse 2. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Mm. And like just so much recently in going through the Psalms, there's so many times of like vocalize this, say this, yeah. shout it, declare it, yep. sing it, you know, all of the vocal things you can do. It's like, yep. do that, express it verbally, right? Yep. Yep. And so we're to say that he is our refuge. He is our fortress. He's yep. the one that we take our shelter in. He's yep. the one where we go when we have troubles, not in what can we do? How can we make it right? How can we be safe? But he is the one we go to. So yeah. I think that's what each house should stand for.
Yeah.
We say
yep.
the Lord is our refuge and our fortress. And that is the God that I will trust. Is that that's yeah. what the rest of verse 2 says.
Yeah. So, you know, that means changing, you know, your verbiage in your day. Instead mm-hmm. of saying, hey, good luck. You know, maybe you say, hey, the Lord is with you. Hey, yep. I am praying and believing God's best for you. Hey, the Lord loves you. You know, switch it up, change it up, speak truth in yeah. those situations. Say what God says.
Yeah, you imagine telling your kid before a game, hey, the Lord is with you, rather than good luck.
Yeah,
you
right. know?
I mean, that's different right there.
It is. Or, hey, knock on wood.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead, you say, no, I'm trusting in God.
Yeah.
I'm believing his word.
Yeah.
I'm holding to his promises.
So good.
Change it up. Speak yeah. truth. Don't mix superstition with faith in the one true God. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There are some superstitions that Christians believe in, but it's time to shake those, put them aside, abandon them, and put our trust squarely in the one true God. So thanks for being with us today. We are, this is part of how we lift him up and live him out. I appreciate you joining us. I hope it's been a help to you as you find that secret place, the dwelling of the Lord Most High himself.